So a number of years ago, I was driving home and I was on the road and I was coming around a curve in the road and I noticed up ahead, there's this pheasant just kind of casually sauntering down the center line of the road. And he's still walking and he looks back and all of a sudden he sees this car bearing down on him. And, you know, once he saw that, he took off running. I mean, you know, what do you think? I mean, he's a bird, right? What do you think his normal reaction would be? He didn't fly off. He took off running. And those legs were moving. Man, I'm certain that pheasant probably set the land speed record for pheasants because he was running so fast trying to get away from that car. But it didn't matter how quickly he was running. It didn't do him any good. That car was still coming down on him, bearing down on him, and he didn't know what he was going to do. And suddenly, what seemed like just at the last moment, it's almost as if he remembered, wait, I'm a bird. I can fly. So he takes off flying and he goes off to the side of the road and then he was safe. But, you know, gotta wonder. But I'm gonna ask a question. Did you ever find yourself in trials that just seem to be bearing down on you? And it seems like no matter what you do, it's only getting worse. So what I'd like to do today is just bring up some points to help us deal with trials that are besetting us. You know, one of the things that we can do when we're experiencing a trial is to examine the path that we're on. And, you know, ask questions, what direction is this trial taking us? Can I see what's wrong? Is there something I can do? Because if possible, and it isn't always possible, but if possible, if you're on a path where you're just having troubles, get off the path. Don't stay where you're having the problems. So is there something I can do to change the direction that I'm going? Is it my goal just to end the trial, or is there something more that I need to reach for? So think about that pheasant. There he was. He was running down that center of the road as fast as he could. And his trial could have ended really quickly if he'd just made a quick turn to the left or right and gotten off that road, but he didn't. He just continued running on the same path, experiencing the same trial, and it's just getting closer and closer. And he wasn't thinking about, how did I get in this predicament? It's just, I'm here, here's a trial. What do I do? Try to get off the path. We want to consider our own path. We want to correct our course. Again, if it's possible. Sometimes it's not possible. But we need to think about that. We need to consider it so that we can make sure that we're on the path of righteousness. Let's take a look at that back in Proverbs. And we'll turn to Proverbs 2. And look at verses 10 through 13. Proverbs 2, verses 10 through 13. When wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. So consider the path. Consider the wisdom and understanding that you can have to understand what this path is that I'm on and how that is contributing to the trial that I'm experiencing. Let's go down just a little bit further, still here in Proverbs 2, this time in verses 20 and 21. So that you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the path of righteousness, For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. So we want to make sure, as we're considering our path, and what course that we're taking, that we keep righteousness, and knowledge, and understanding from what comes from God. We keep that in our mind. And if we compare where we currently are with where we should be, we want to make sure that we are headed in the direction of righteousness and change the path if we can. Have our own actions taken us down this path? As we see here in Proverbs, wisdom and knowledge can help us to understand the path that we're on. So again, consider the situation and, if possible, change direction. But sometimes it's not possible. It doesn't matter what you do, it's just, I'm stuck here. I can't change direction because, you know, it's just the way life is. So when that's the case, what else can we do? If we can't immediately change direction, what are some of the other options that we have? Well, this is the case where wisdom and knowledge that we saw in Proverbs can help. We start examining ourselves. We start looking at our own lives and who we are and what we are. And we want to understand the gifts and the abilities that God has given us and how those might possibly be able to help us. Let's take a look at James chapter 1 and verses 17 and 18. James reminds us where our gifts and abilities come from and why we need to consider those. James chapter 1 verses 17 and 18. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. It's an amazing statement. God, according to his own will, is the one who's brought us forth by his word of truth. He's working with us. He's there to help us to understand, to gain knowledge and understanding. So God has a purpose for us. And he's working with us. And he gives us certain abilities that are uniquely suited for each one of us. Because he knows each one of us, individually and personally. Let's take a look at what Paul has here to write in Romans chapter 12, and verses 3 through 8. Here in Romans 12, 3 to 8, Paul is talking about gifts that have been given and how we use those. Romans 12, starting in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, that everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Paul is pointing out here that each one of us has been given different gifts at different levels. We're not all cookie cutters and exactly the same. And as he brought out to the Corinthians, I won't turn there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, Paul states again, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. So as we strive to understand, well, what gifts has God given to me? What abilities do I have from Him? What ways can I grow here? These can help us to understand how to see our way through these trials that we're having. Of course, the challenge comes, even if you understand the gifts you have and how you might be able to use them, is to understand how to use the gifts that God has given us. Again, let's take a look at that pheasant situation. You know, pheasants have certain capabilities, certain abilities that they were created with. One of those is they can be very aggressive when it comes to defending their nests or their territory. So this pheasant could have used that ability. He could have turned and faced down that car for all the good that it would have done him. So that wasn't really a gift that he wanted to use. But, as I saw, pheasants can also really run fast. And which he did. I mean, he was really running fast. But again, turned out that even though he had that gift, it wasn't really the best choice. He used it, but things just kept getting worse. So as we consider our own abilities and how to use those, which ones to use, it can also be helpful to seek counsel from those who are familiar with our situation. Because see, that could give us a different perspective in the trial that we're in. I mean, sometimes we get into a situation, we've got those blinders on, don't we? We don't see anything else. So by talking with others who know us, know the situation, we can get a different perspective. And it can possibly help us to understand the situation we're in. Let's go back to Proverbs. And this time, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. We talked about wisdom and understanding earlier. And this is another facet of that. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And the man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Find someone who can help you, who understands, give you a better understanding of your own situation. And we can see that there's an advantage of this when we consider the account of Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Let's turn back to Daniel chapter 2. Background here, we don't need to go through the whole thing, but remember what happened. Nebuchadnezzar had this dream. And he wanted it to be interpreted. So he went to all his soothsayers and everything else, the magicians, and he wanted to know what the interpretation was. But he also didn't really trust them. Because they could have told him anything. And, you know, he could have, I don't know if this is true or not. So what he did, he said, first, tell me what my dream was. Because if you can do that, then there's a better chance that your interpretation actually might be valid. And of course, what there's a reaction. They're standing there like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. This has never happened ever. Any wise men who have been with any king or something, this has never happened. We can't do that. No one can do that. And that just made Nebuchadnezzar furious. He was angry. He said, that's enough. And right away, he issued a decree to have all the wise men killed. And so Arioch, who's the captain, who's carried out to, commissioned to carry out this thing, and it comes to Daniel and his friends. And we pick this up in verse 14. We'll look through Daniel 2, verses 14 and 19. Because, you know, think about this. Suddenly, through no fault of their own, Daniel's companions find themselves in what you could, in an understated manner, say is a really severe trial. So severe that they're facing death. So what course of action did Daniel take? Daniel chapter 2, verses 14 through 19. Then, with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So he had wisdom there to try to understand what's going on. He didn't start arguing right away. He needed to understand the situation. Picking up here again in verse 16. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him some time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning the secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision, so Daniel blessed the God of heaven. So it was with wisdom and counsel that Daniel discussed the situation with Arioch, and then decided to approach the king and discuss it with him. And obviously, he had the wisdom to not just go in and plead for his life, but to discuss with the king, give me this time, and here's how it could benefit you. But ultimately, as we look at this account, what we see here is though they knew they would need to seek God for a resolution to this trial. There was no way they could get out of this trial with their own abilities. They had to go to God. And so, obviously none of us have ever been in a situation like that, and I hope we don't. But when we consider our options, when we consider the trials that are besetting us, we need to remember to ask God for the wisdom to know what to do. And again, James talks about this. Let's go back to James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 5. James talks about how to get wisdom, the source of wisdom, here in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. Starting in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. That's an amazing promise, really, isn't it? We're having problems here. We can go to God and say, I need the wisdom to understand what's going on here and how I need to react and behave in this situation. And God says, I'll give you the wisdom if you come to me. And not just a little smidge. He says, I'll give it to you liberally. And James affirms here what we find in Proverbs when he's encouraging us that God will generously give us the wisdom that we need when we approach him and ask according to his will. And we're flipping back and forth here, but let's go back to Proverbs chapter 2 again. Proverbs chapter 2 and verses 6 through 9 this time. I think James draws a lot from Proverbs in what he's writing to the church. Proverbs chapter 2 verses 6 through 9. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. This is what comes eventually from God when we ask him for wisdom. He's promised us that this is what he will provide. This is what God is willing to give us when we come to him and ask. Whatever gifts and abilities that we have to help see us through these trials, it's important to remember that they do come from God, and it's not by our strength that we can bear these trials. We can't do it without God. Consider what Jeremiah has to say in chapter 9, in verses 23 and 24. Jeremiah 9, verses 23 through 24. Jeremiah writes here in chapter 9, verse 23, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord." Don't rely on ourselves. We have some strength, but not really what we need. Our strength, gifts, and abilities come from God. As the psalmist writes, we won't turn there, but in Psalm 68, in verse 28, Psalm 68, 28, we read, "Your God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, what you have done for us. Uphold me. Help me to understand. Give me the wisdom I need. Because I know it's from you, God. Everything I have is from you. And I need your help." Whatever we might be facing, however long we might be facing it, we have to rely on God. And Paul reminds us of that in his first letter to the Corinthians. Let's go back there to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 12 through 13. It's a reminder that I know personally, and a lot of us have this too, that, you know, as we go about our day to day and we're facing this, especially if we're in a trial that's going on and on and on and on, we can get into the habit of, okay, you know, I'm dealing with this. But we need to remember every day that, yeah, you're dealing with it. But the reason you're dealing with it and the reason you're going to get through with it is because what God is doing for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 12 through 13, Paul writes, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." Now, it's interesting here. It says God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. I'll admit, sometimes I kind of wondered, what measuring scale is he using? Because I sure don't feel like I'm able. But God is sure. He's there. He knows who we are. He knows what we're going through. And he's not going to put us in a situation knowing we're going to fail. We come to him. We rely on him. Ask for his wisdom and understanding. And God will show us what needs to be done here. Because too often, don't we just kind of try to resolve our troubles on our own? Or rely on ourselves, resolve trial, or I'm going to bravely suffer through this until it's over. Point here is that God already provides the strength that we need to endure through the trial. But we need to go to Him and ask Him to let Him know that we need and want and desire His help according to His will. And one of the points here, one of the lessons that we can learn from what we've seen here so far, is that God is the one who's in control. He is the one we have to rely on. Because no matter how strong we are, how smart we are, how creative we are, whatever our gifts and abilities might be, we need to learn to fully rely on God and not to rely on our own strength. We have to believe that God will give us the strength that we need. And the Bible exhorts us to remember God, to turn to Him, especially in these situations. Let's look at Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verses 9 and 10. As we look at these verses, you know, ask yourself, have I ever been in a situation where I felt like this? Psalm 31, verses 9 and 10. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity and my bones waste away. Are there just times when we just feel so overwhelmed by what we're dealing with? What can we do of our own accord? We can't go it alone. We must turn to God and rely on His strength. Because He's promised. He's promised to be there for us. And the Bible is filled with reminders of what God provides for us. We trust that God will be there to help us through, even when we feel like we might be at our rope's end. God will be there. Let's take a look further here in Psalm 31, verses 14 through 16. After seeing this lament earlier on in the psalm, what is the answer? Psalm 31, verses 14 through 16. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Even in the midst of his troubles, there is a confidence there that God is going to do this. There's a trust there that God will provide. God has made a promise to us, and that promise is that he will be with us when we turn to him. I won't turn there, but in 2 Samuel chapter 22, in verses 32 and 33, we read the following. 2 Samuel 22, 32 and 33. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. And just to reinforce that, let's turn over here to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verses 39 and 40. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. And from our study of God's word, we know this to be true. But aren't there still times, perhaps emotionally, when we may still have doubts? We believe God. We trust him. But there's still that humanity within us that might have some doubts here. Remember the accounts in the New Testament over in Mark chapter 9 of the man whose son had been possessed by a demon. And the disciples were not able to cast that demon out. Let's go and take a look at Mark 9. And we'll reread 19 through 24. We're breaking into the account here. But that's the background. He couldn't do it. So this father brings his son to Jesus. And the disciples said, we couldn't do this. So in verse 19 of Mark chapter 9, Jesus said, he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately his spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed and foaming at the mouth. So he, Jesus, asked the Father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. The fact that the man brought his son to Jesus meant he believed something could be done. But there's still some doubt there, wasn't there? If you can do anything, have compassion on us. And what was Jesus' response to him? If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. We still have doubts. And we trust God. We believe him. We're here. He's called us into his family. He's called us to be first fruits. We believe him, but we still have doubts sometimes, don't we? Help my unbelief. Help me to trust you further. It's an easy thing to say that we trust God, but when times are tough, we may find that we still have some doubts. But even then, we can turn to God to help us in our unbelief. Strengthen me. Give me greater resolve to know beyond any doubt that I can rely on you, that I can trust you, and you will deliver me. We can turn to him to build our strength through him and to learn to believe him completely and to rely on him more fully. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. That pheasant I spoke about at the beginning ended his trial when he used the strength and the gift of flight that God had given him. When we find ourselves in trials, especially when it feels like we will be overwhelmed by that trial, remember to use what God gives us and to rely on his strength. Let me read to you Proverbs chapter 3. And verses 5 through 6. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. When we can learn to trust God completely, to rely on Him, to draw nearer to Him, then regardless of what happens to us because of the trial that we're facing, it will not be able to overwhelm us. Instead, by lifting up on the wings of God's strength, we can overcome our trials.